Hello.
Hello.
There you are. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Good.
Good. You know.
I
Yeah.
know it's a nice day.
Yes.
I feel like things are just trying to be sunny. It's a Saints game day.
Oh yeah, it is, isn't it? Oh gosh, I forgot.
It is. That little thing.
Yes.
No big.
Yeah. Well, I think we're entering in, at least where we are in New Orleans, fall is generally warm, not quite as, it's not quite as hot as it was,
It's like less hot than usual
right, but it,
until like December. And then December to March, it's cold.
right. So, but it's kind of like lazy days, like it kind of makes you sleepy in a way. Yeah.
100%. Because
Yeah.
it's not hot outside, so you can't, well, it is a little bit hotter today than I thought it was going to be,
Yeah.
but we're supposed to get a quote unquote cool front tomorrow. So we'll see how that situation works.
Right. Well, like I find when it's really hot, you're just angry and
Oh,
screaming.
always.
And then when you get into the fall, it's like not quite as hot, so you just kind of feel sleepy.
Oh, I thrive in
Yeah.
fall. My attire is better. Because sweater weather is my shit. Like that is my time to shine,
Yeah.
both as a person and fashionably. Like that is my time to shine. That is my go to kind of situation. So I feel like I look better. I'm not sweating my ass off.
Right.
I'm a much happier person in fall and winter.
Me too. Fall is my favorite season.
Yeah.
I love it because I love Halloween
Right.
spooky stories.
Love it. Love the
You
whole
know.
thing. I'm a holiday person. The Massacos are Christmas people,
All right, hang on.
as a
I'm sorry.
collective group.
Hang on one
What?
second. Hang on
Okay.
one second. Hold the thought and mark the note.
I'm holding it.
I've got to let Owen in.
Oh.
Okay. We're recording. I'm recording.
Hey,
I love pretty sure you've opened the phone. Okay, go put that in the kitchen so I can do this. Okay, sorry about that.
no, you're fine.
Okay. So yeah, fall is great. I'm glad.
Yeah, the Massacos are Christmas people, so fall means that Christmas is happening soon, within the next what, 100 days or something.
Oh my God, I cannot even handle that right now. Cannot.
So I'm hoping, so now bars can do to-go orders
Well,
and sort of
they can't. I thought I got excited.
happen.
I got excited. It's restaurants can do to-go drinks.
Oh, well, that's stupid.
I know, because I went with a friend yesterday. We went on a little trying to find a bar with a window because we wanted to support our local bar. And it was all shut up. And then we're like, well, that stinks. And then we couldn't figure out
I
what
feel
window.
bamboozled.
Yeah.
I
So,
feel bamboozled.
yeah.
Well, at least restaurants can do
Yeah.
that. What I would start doing if I was like a bar, I'd be like, oh, I sell food. I'm a restaurant.
Right.
That's me. That's what I do.
Yes, we look at these fine selection of potato chips that we have. We have all the that flavors.
Our luxury assortment of
Yeah.
potato chips that we did not bag ourselves, but
Right. No.
our
Yes.
third party vendor bagged them and sent them
Right.
to us. Our
Exactly.
third party vendor of Lay's.
Right. Yes. So, but we did find a, we went to Parkway
Love it.
and they were selling to go drinks.
Love it.
We had a little to go from there because we love
Yeah.
to support our local people and
100%. I do feel like even though things are still shut down, everyone's like super mad at LaToya right now, which, I feel like comes with the job territory.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But I feel like things are looking up. Like I feel like we're headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
that may be the internal optimist.
I hope so.
But I feel like we're headed in the right direction. I just feel like if everyone minds their P's and Q's, wears a fucking mask, then we will be able to have Mardi Gras in some sort of capacity. And we will be able to have Jazz Fest and French Quarter Fest.
Oh, goodness.
And I feel like not having all of that this year just sets us up for like an epic 2021.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It'll be great. It'll be great because it'll be the first time we get to do stuff in like over a year.
People are going to lose their damn minds. They're just like,
I know.
Like, woo!
I feel like instead of nice, peaceful protests, we're going to have riots because people are not going to be able to like drink normally.
They don't know how to handle themselves for sure. No.
We are a social people.
Yeah.
Like by nature, we are a social people. So it's like, if you lock us up for that long, we're going to go crazy, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, yeah. In New Orleans, it's like,
everything you do is social. Like, I mean, even a trip to the grocery store is a social outing.
Oh, I know. I know.
Like the little things, like I know my pharmacist, like she's amazing kind of thing. Like that's a social outing.
I went to the doctor this week just for a checkup, and the other lady, we all got into a conversation about temperature checks.
I mean, there you go.
I don't know that lady.
I don't know. Yeah.
But we were best friends there for a minute.
Exactly. Somebody told me to be a best friend. The girl, I know a girl, shout out to, I'm pretty sure she pronounced her name Brenna.
Uh-huh.
Or, because it's spelled not like Brianna.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's Brenna. God forbid. I'm so sorry if I got that wrong.
Yes.
I definitely listens to this, but.
Who knows?
She works at the PJs. And we all know I love a good PJs moment.
Oh, it's for sure.
A place. I love to be there. But she's my PJs girl. Mm. And we ran into each other at Tipitina's one night last fall. And we were like the best. We hugged when you could hug people.
And back when you could. Yeah.
Back when you could hug people.
Yeah.
We hugged and I was like, oh my God, look who it is. Like you become that. Like everyone in New Orleans is your best friend. Like that's just how we operate.
Yeah.
So I think we're gonna all start like you know it's I don't know if you saw this show, I think it's called, what's it called, The Kingsman or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's like James Bondy kind of movie.
Yeah.
But like funny, and he like Samuel L. Jackson's the bad guy and he creates this app and then you start like killing everybody around you.
Oh.
But like instead of it being the app, it's because we're all inside.
Oh.
And not social people, we're just gonna start punching each other. Like, it's just, I don't know. I'm worried for the people of Portland.
I am worried about, yes, we have several restaurant / bar establishments that tend to want to thumb their nose. And
I know.
And every Saints game, we're going to have a thing. And if Mardi Gras doesn't happen like we wanted to, there's probably going to be some issues.
Riot.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, no. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. So,
everyone get together. Wear a mask.
Wear a mask so we can have carnival, please. Yes.
Right. And it's not that I literally, one of my very, very good friends from high school, we've been friends like since high school, she turned 30 yesterday, and we had a socially distant, like outside at Lafayette Park, like tailgate thing to watch the LSU game.
Right.
Like you can still do things, just be smart about what you're doing.
That's correct. So,
like,
yes, I went on my ill-fated pub crawl, which, you know, it was good for
you know it was going to be a pub crawl.
We weren't expecting it to be, but, you know, my friend Jan Ann and I went and we wore our masks while we were walking. And even after we finally got our to go drink, we had straws and we just like lifted the corner of our mask ever so slightly.
Yeah,
you just wore a mask. We still talked to one another. It was fine.
Totally fine. Literally, Coach L wore his mask basically the whole time of the LSU game yesterday, and that man was yelling left and right and up and down and sideways.
Like, that's great.
all over the place. So if he can wear a mask during all
For
that,
sure.
you can.
Yes.
I want to go to Jazz Fest. I just need
I know. You, oh my God. What are we going to do if we don't have Jazz Fest?
Let's Jazz Fest again. If I don't have Jazz Fest again, I'm gonna have a moment. Like I'm gonna have a moment.
Seriously.
It was so. This was that. This Jazz Fest year was supposed to be so good.
Oh my God!
It had so many people. I was so excited.
I know, me too.
And so if they cancel it again on me, I'm gonna be real pissed.
I know.
I'm gonna be livid, Ashley. I'm gonna be livid.
No, same. Like I was like, there's so many great acts. I didn't even know which one to choose.
Oh my God! I know.
Yeah.
The Who, Lizzo, so many people.
I think Foo Fighters are going to be there.
Yeah. I feel like the Foo Fighters are in New Orleans constantly.
Yeah. It can't be enough for me. I just, they can.
Not that we don't love them. It's just, literally they do like random pop-up concerts on just random.
I would love to see Lizzo. That'd be a great show though.
I saw her at Baltimore. Some shit. That was awesome. She was so good. I was in the back.
Yes.
I couldn't see her very well, but I could see her.
Yes.
And it was all I needed to live my life. And it was great. It was life changing. It truly really was. Lizzo is a life changing individual.
Absolutely.
So,
yes.
I love it.
Okay. So we have strayed far and wide with conversation. As
welcome. This is a normal conversation for you and I when even we're not recording. So
yeah.
Saw an insight to our friendship.
All right. Okay. Okay. So, speaking of far and wide, you know how I do. And so my topic is a little weird.
Of course. Okay. It is. I, you know, I try to, sometimes when you pose me with that, you're like, okay, I went a little different this week. And it's like, I try to think about what that could even be. And then every time I guess something, you're a complete 180 from what I was even thinking. So now I go with the flow. I am here for the ride.
Okay.
I have buckled in. I'm on the ride. I'm here for it.
Well, I'm so glad that you're buckled in and you're here for the ride because we are going to talk about amusement parks.
Shut the fuck up. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Go ahead. All right.
You nailed it.
We're so in sync, Ashley.
You nailed it. What a transition. Okay. So there is a documentary called Class Action Park, which is based on an actual quote unquote amusement park. I use the term loosely, called Action Park in New Jersey. And it was around primarily in the 80s, late 70s, 80s.
Okay. Okay.
This is on HBO Max. I watched it. It's hilarious. People lose teeth. They break their arms.
God.
There's 13-year-olds manning rides. There's death.
That, I mean, what could go wrong
you
with
know,
that? It's like my niece is 13. I wouldn't trust her with a motorized
right?
motor thing.
And these are like water slides that they don't, no engineer made this. Like, they just made this stuff up.
No, your Uncle Larry in the backyard came up with this genius.
Exactly.
Idea.
They had like a hose and they're like, this might work. Anyway, it's awesome. I highly recommend it. And it reminded me of my childhood and just loved it. So, but fun fact, the documentary filmmakers are from Shreveport.
Yes.
So Shreveport, if you're not familiar, if you're not in Louisiana, Shreveport is in the northwest corner of Louisiana.
Yes.
So
it's like a 5-hour drive from
right.
New Orleans.
So it prompted me to think about, because I just love amusement. Let me qualify that. Amusement parks intrigue me because they are full of fun, but also like accidents could happen at any moment if maybe.
Right.
Maybe they didn't, when they put the ride together, they forgot a nut and bolt and the thing could just fall apart at any moment.
Very Final Destination.
Very much so.
Me as a person, I have jumped out of planes. I have like done all the things. Amusement parks, like amusement rides scare the shit
right.
out of me. Scare the shit out of me because
right.
of that. I'm afraid a bolt is going
right.
to come loose. fall to my
Right.
death and squished by
And
something.
there's two different kinds of amusement parks. There are the traveling amusement parks. So like when you have your state fair and they set
Right.
up for like 2 days,
Those are real
those are the
terrifying.
scariest. I'm going to talk about that for one sec in a minute. But then you have the ones that are obviously like money makers and they've been around for a minute
Right.
and they can fine tune all that stuff. But the ones that travel, oh my God.
Those are the ones all your school fairs in New Orleans have those travel
Yeah.
things, like where you get on like the ride or whatever. There's one called like the Zipper. That one's terrifying. That one is a
And
nightmare.
like, you know, when I was a kid, mom, I went with my friend Mimi to, okay, I lived in Shreveport for a while when I was a young kid. Anyway, oddly enough, this Shreveport theme keeps repeating itself. But anyway, my mom would give me like, here's $5, and Mimi's parents would take us to the state fair every fall and just drop us off. So yeah,
Natural,
and
right?
like, so like trusting that like the rides were put together, that someone wasn't gonna like, I mean, we were like 12 and like someone wasn't gonna like take us or something.
You were 12 and like around the time that like it was a bad time for 12-year-olds back
Seriously.
then. Y'all were getting
Listen, at
snatched
the state
left
fair too, there's like all kinds of like the
I know.
people manning the rides were either very young teenagers who were probably high,
I was gonna say, definitely
yes,
on drugs.
or
Under.
inappropriately older men who
Yeah.
traveled from town to town because they could,
Gross.
you know, for
Yep.
whatever reason, you know, so not great. And we would
No.
go and I want a goldfish back when you could like they would just like you would throw a
Oh yeah, they gave
yeah.
out goldfish. Yeah, they used to have school
Yeah,
fair
so
all
I
the
had a
time.
goldfish that lived way too long. My mom hated it. It did not die. But the thing I remember the most was this traveling haunted house amusement thing put on.
Oh, no, those are my two worst
Yeah.
fears in life in one
Exactly.
area.
So this was put on by the Gaslight Players Theater Group in Shreveport, and it was called Dr. Blood.
Now,
And
oh, of course it was, naturally.
I have very vivid memories of this. So I looked up the history. It was started originally in 1975, and you would
Okay.
go in a group of like four. They didn't want too many people in a group. And it was in total darkness, and you had a would lead you through pitch black. There no lights.
Right.
Like people would like grab at your feet from the walls and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't play that game.
Yeah.
I did house once and I was not about it.
Yeah. No, I'm not a fan either.
No.
But they would change the theme. It would be like Mansion of Terror, Maze of Terror, Inferno of Lost Souls, and all these kinds of things. One of them was Your Worst Nightmare, Kelly. One room you walked into, you never knew what you were going to walk into.
Stop.
Your worst nightmare, walk into it. It was a room covered in cockroaches.
Oh, I thought you were going to say snakes.
Horrible.
Cockroaches. Now, if we're doing snakes versus cockroaches, I'll take cockroaches any day. But
Oh,
that, oh
God.
no. Were they flying cockroaches? Because that would have
Oh,
been, that's your worst fear is you get cockroach and then it flies
oh
at
my
you.
God. I know. Okay. So anyway, Dr. Blood was so successful, it managed to branch out and it eventually made it to Six Flags Over Texas. So
Okay.
every year, Dr. Blood would put on a haunted house at Fright Fest at Six Flags Over Texas. So that just goes to show how popular these things are. Like people really like to be scared, they really like amusement parks.
Hate all of that. Don't understand. Will never understand enjoying being scared. Like, no,
Exactly.
absolutely.
So bringing it back to New Orleans,
Okay.
there's two notable theme parks I'm sure you're familiar with, but we'll talk about them. So the first one is obviously Pontchartrain Beach. So
Right.
that's the one that most people are historically familiar with. So it was located obviously on a beachfront of Lake Pontchartrain. It was founded by Harry J. Bat Sr., who is the grandfather of Brian Bat, who is an actor that most people know from Mad Men.
Yeah.
So it's been in the family. It was in the family the whole time.
Right.
It opened in 1928, which I was surprised. That's
where my grandma was born.
Oh, yay. Well, there you go.
There you go.
I didn't realize it was so old.
I wouldn't have realized that either.
Because I always think of it as like post-World War II era, you know?
Yeah, but that's probably because the war had already started. So, it probably became just more of a like spectacular kind of thing after the war.
Right.
That makes sense. I mean, that adds up.
Right. So, originally it was very modest, and it had swimming and just a few amusement rides and concession stands, but they were known for their live music concerts, including touring acts such as Elvis Presley.
Yes.
So he was there. And then they slowly started adding on rides. So some of those included the Zephyr, which is the big roller coaster.
Yeah.
And that's what one of my cats is named after, the Zephyr.
Zephyr.
Yes. But also, the names are crazy. Smoky Mary, Wild Mouse, Raging Cajun, The Bug.
The Bug.
Galaxy, Laugh in the Dark, spelled LAFF.
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
Unnecessary.
Yeah, the Monster, and just various other things that you're probably familiar with, like the Hard Rock and the Log Ride. Anyway, so it lasted from 1928 until September 1983. Had a pretty good run, but it closed down because no one was going there, which is weird to me. Like, why did people stop going in 1983? Because that was kind of like we were just talking about, like, in the 80s, everybody was going to amusement parks.
Yeah, that was like a whole thing.
Yeah. So I couldn't really figure, I was doing a bunch of research and I couldn't figure out why it stopped. So,
yeah, that's weird.
On the last day of September 24th, 1983, all these people showed up for one last day, and they kind of did bust out business. And then, so at 11:30, the Zephyr made its final run, and that was followed by a midnight jazz funeral in the parking lot, which is, of course, how New Orleans has to let.
That's how we let everything go.
Jazz right. Funeral. So several of the rides were dismantled and distributed to other amusement parks, sold to Gulf Shores, and one went to Myrtle Beach and all that kind of stuff. The crest of the Zephyr is at Kenner Memorial Park, which I did not realize.
I did not realize that.
I didn't
either.
Even know there was a Kenner Memorial Park.
Honestly, that's more of what I didn't realize was that the Kenner Memorial Park,
along with remnants of the Bally High restaurant, which was a locally famous tiki restaurant.
I think that our boss, Mr. Laborde, had some sort of wedding festivity there when he married
me. Yes, I have seen the photos, and they're amazing and awesome.
I love it.
The hand-painted carousel horses were donated to New Orleans City Park. They lived on, which is great.
Yeah.
And the area that Pontchartrain Beach took up is now UNO's, the University of New Orleans, Technology Park. So that kind of gives you an idea of where that is. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, we looked up the darker side of things. And surprisingly, I was shocked. There weren't that many injuries and crazy stuff.
Really?
Because for a park that was from 1928 to 1980s, you would think...
Oh, about definitely not there.
So I did find a few things. So in April 1979, the New York Times had an article that read, "A fully loaded roller coaster train slammed into an empty one on the Zephyr ride, injuring 20 people.
Oh, God.
I'm thinking more than injury. You would think that would be.
Yeah. That, I don't know about that. Did they fully report that?
Right. It says the most serious injury was a broken jaw suffered by a 16-year-old girl who was taken to Charity Hospital. Most of the other injuries were minor. You know that must have hurt.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I feel like even just saying, oh, she broke her jaw. Like, no, she probably like had to have some extensive surgery.
That would not feel so great to go like crashing into a thing. It said the train was carrying about 24 people when it pulled around a bend into the loading dock of the ride. And workers were there working on an empty train, not realizing that it had another one was coming. So,
oh, well, who's the project manager on that situation?
I mean, yeah.
That was poorly planned.
Listen, 1979, we did have walkie-talkies, people.
100%. Yeah, like someone did not communicate effectively.
Right. Now, I did find a report that in 1943, Corporal Douglas O'Brien, a World War II serviceman from Massachusetts, fell 75 feet to his death from the top of the Zephyr.
From the top of this? What was he doing?
I don't know.
Sir.
I could not. This is what's funny, because I think because their records, I think, like you were saying, they like hush things up and stuff.
Yeah.
Could not find more information about Corporal O'Brien. He was 28. Also, it was like 1943. Like, what was he doing in New Orleans? I don't even like.
There's a whole back.
I'm not calling
there.
Into question his integrity. I'm just wondering why was he in New Orleans,
right
in the middle of the war? Unless he was like researching. I don't know. Like,
I don't know.
Anyway.
Who knows?
Okay. So there's also a sandy beach, which is why it's Pontchartrain Beach. And so that area of the beach is known to be very treacherous. There's a mile long sand beach where Pontchartrain Beach was located. And there's steps that would go down to the beach. Sometimes the beach, the sand would erode from under the stone steps and swimmers would get caught in a wave under there and they would drown. So it was so dangerous that they had to close it to swimmers several times. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So very deadly waters right there. But I also read another report about one of the rides that was at Pontchartrain Beach that I wanted to talk about real quick. Okay.
Okay.
So the Wild Mouse ride. A ride that was designed by a German firm. And so they designed this ride and they sold the plans to different amusement parks all around the world. It was very boxy and being German, very utilitarian. So they had sold one to Pontchartrain Beach, but also to an amusement park in Baton Rouge. So there's a blog from a writer named Leanne Myers Boone, also known as Cherry the Dive Bar Girl.
As one is. casual nickname.
But she talks about the Wild Mouse roller coaster. And I thought it was really interesting because it gives a kind of glimpse as to like what the rides were like a little bit at the time. So she says that when she was a young girl, she was in the fifth grade when she first started going to this amusement park. She says that it was a large cube of gray metal that resembled a cage, and the faded words Wild Mouse marked the entryway. She says, my friend Angie Reibel walked up beside me and said, "You know, it killed people. That's why they shut it down."
Oh,
right. So she says she heard the ride was responsible for multiple decapitations, the demise of its repairman, and broken bones, which I feel like you don't end with the broken bones, like start with broken bones and then like the decapitations later, like what?
Got
Always
it.
some
You might
broken
feel like
bones.
you can't.
Decapitation.
Right.
Killed a
By
guy.
the
Oh, and some broken bones.
way. No, it's like it killed a guy, but can you believe it broke people's bones?
Right. Exactly. So she did some digging, and apparently most of the tales were false, but two girls did sustain injuries in the late 70s while riding the coaster. So she dug a little deeper and she was wondering, how does that rumor mill get started? So
Right.
she says the answer is simple. It's like the playing the telephone game. So
Ah.
the people heard about these two girls who got in an accident in the 70s. Rumor mill starts flowing, and of course it's the 70s. We don't have the internet. There's no reports. People are just talking. And by the end of it all,
Right.
these girls are headless ghosts who like are like crazy and in control of the ride. Which yeah,
Of
so
course.
yeah. So what also it said like helped spur the rumors was that in the 1980s, a boy was thrown from the Wild Mouse at Pontchartrain Beach in New Orleans. And he fell 25 feet and suffered a head injury. So people took that incident and then put it on top of the Wild Mouse ride in Baton Rouge. And they were like, people are losing their heads and like dying and all this kind of stuff, which
Oh
wasn't
my
true.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that park also shut down in 1999 and would later become Dixielandin by Blue Bayou Water Park.
Oh, shit.
So
Okay.
it's technically still around by the same owners, but it's not like it was then.
No, it's a water, it's all like a water
Right.
park now. I think there are some rides. Like I think I've never
Yeah.
been. But I think you like pass it, like there you can see some regular like roller
Yeah.
coaster rides,
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. It is massive. The old park was, look, it was very, and this is Baton Rouge, it's not New Orleans, but we'll mention it was very 70s. They had like a chimpanzee mascot, like an actual chimp or thing who was like put in the clothes and like they had a name and then all this kind of, it was terrible and like just very 1970s, like shady ridiculousness. So it sounds like they cleaned themselves up and they
There you
water
go. Hope so.
park. Have some federal regulation on the rides. But anyway, I was very surprised that Pontchartrain Park what had very little incidents.
I mean, I'm more surprised that like regular school fair kind of shit, that doesn't have more deaths. Like those
I
things,
mean,
like I all
right.
of it's sketchy.
So, but there is another, or was another park in New Orleans. And while Pontchartrain Park evokes all these memories, like these, we love the Valley High and we saw Elvis there and people love the Supper and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
There's another amusement park in New Orleans, which is Jazzland Six Flags in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yes,
R.I.P.
so this is abandoned. It is obviously located on the edge of New Orleans East. It is 140 acres, first opened in the year 2000. So it
Yep.
was closed by basically Katrina in 2005. It
Yeah.
is still there. It is abandoned. It's overgrown with plants and wildlife and all this kind of stuff. I have actually been there.
People love
I went
going there.
there with someone who, with the film industry, who had a key. So we
Ooh,
went
fancy.
not too long after Katrina. It had been long enough that it was fully a ghost town, but You know, we walked around. It is terrifying. It is, and
I've seen photos, yeah. And
I'm going to talk a little bit more of that in a little bit. But it is like everything that you don't want in your nightmares. Anyway, yeah. So because it has like all these like eerie images and stuff, I'll go into in a minute. It's become this box to check off for people who want to visit abandoned. You know, there's a whole abandoned site group. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, like the whole, yeah, they always, yeah, you want to
abandoned hospitals, abandoned, yeah, all that kind of stuff. So there are videos, there's photos, there's YouTube stuff, and the city, it's completely illegal. So you will be arrested if you're caught there. That said, the New Orleans Police Department has many other things to take care of, and probably not on the top of their list is patrolling former jazz band. Yeah.
I don't think so. At least I hope not.
So as I said, it opened initially as Jazzland in the year 2000. Rides included the Mega Zeph, which was a callback to the Pontchartrain Beach. But it became the Mega Zeph when they tried to make it just like the original Zephyr, but anyway, it went on a tangent. There was a ride called Rex's Rail Runner, which I don't know. I never went to Jazzland, so I don't know what these are.
I went once, and it's the only time I've ever been on like a theme park ride kind of situation. Well, I've gone to Disney World once, but it's like, this is like a legit kind of thing. And the first ride I went on, they put like the thing down on top, like the chest thing that goes over your chest kind of thing that comes down. And then whatever the ride was, is they pulled us back and we were basically like parallel with the ground, essentially. And then it shot us forward. And it brings us back, and I'm like laying parallel with the ground, and my thing starts to click open, and it scared the shit out of me, and I've never been on another ride.
That doesn't sound great.
Nope, it scared the shit out of me. I thought I was gonna die, and then I couldn't get out of it. Like, so it was open, and then when they try every, it lifted up for everyone else at the end, and I was in the ride. It was horrible. It was horrible.
That's like you hear those cases where they get stuck like upside down. Oh,
yeah. I just thought I was gonna fall out when we were up almost upside down. I was like, I'm gonna fall out. My ass gonna fall. I'm gonna die. This is how I go
don't
out.
Like that. No,
it was horrible.
But they had rides called the Zydeco Scream, the Cypress Plunge, and
that might have been the log ride. That sounds
and then great. A Spillway Splash Out. So they were really banking on the local.
How Louisiana
the Gator Gamble and the whatever. they leaned in real heavy on the theme. But it did not do well. So in 2001 they put it up for sale, and in March 2002 Six Flags purchased it. And so they worked on it for a year, and they thought they were going to make it like the best thing ever. Well, no.
Yeah.
They were responsible for the super creepy old dancing man mascot, Mr. Six, that we all shudder to remember. The worst.
That guy.
They introduced an inverted roller coaster, Batman the Ride, which is where you...
you were like hanging.
I don't know. No.
Yeah,
And
didn't
then
like that at all
several
either.
arrived from that was built in Japan. They brought in rides from Six Flags, Texas. Anyway, they tried their best to like make this a top-notch amusement park. I don't think it went well, you know.
It did.
First of
I don't think it
all,
did.
it's very hot there. It is in the middle of a swamp. It's full sun, and they tried to introduce like coverings and misters and all this kind of stuff, but you're in the middle of a swamp. Let's face it, you know. And in order to get there, our boss talks about how where it's located, you have two barriers. So coming from the city out there, you have to go over the high rise, over the canal, and people don't like to do that. And then coming from the North Shore, you have to go across the lake, and people don't like to do that. So it's stuck in the middle in this place that no one wants to go to for amusement. I mean, there's a very thriving, amazing community that lives there, which I love. They live there. They're not going there for amusement. That's their home. Right.
Exactly.
So,
Exactly. Isn't that the same area they were looking when they were before they put Disney World in Florida? Didn't they look at that area for like a Disney World
no,
thing, or am I making
100%.
that
He
up?
looked at it first, and for whatever reason, I don't recall why, but he decided to put it in Florida. I don't know. Which was probably a smart move because.
100%. Yeah, I mean, we have, they are a little bit more equipped to handle like hurricanes and stuff because they're not up. So it's a little, I think having to shut down every time a
Not
hurricane
great.
comes would have been
Yeah, but can you imagine going
very
to
annoying.
Disney World in New Orleans?
I
That'd be
hate
weird.
it. I would hate
Yeah, and I
it.
don't think it would
100%
fit
hate it.
with the character of our city.
It's not our vibe. It just isn't our vibe. I think that's why a Six Flags didn't work either. Like, it's just that's not our vibe.
Right,
That's not
exactly.
our
We're not like
situation.
real corporate stuff.
No.
Right. So,
No.
okay, so all in all, this amusement park wasn't around very long. And I think that saved them from having a lot of accidents. I could only find one serious one.
Right.
So
Oh,
during the
God.
summer, a summer, a woman was struck by a car on the Joker's jukebox and was killed.
She was
No.
on a
Here's
ride and
what
struck
it
by a
was.
car.
So this was a
Oh.
grandmother, and she was trying to help her 4-year-old grandson get strapped into the ride when the ride suddenly started and she was struck by another ride car as it went by. Yeah. So she wasn't
Good
supposed to be there
God.
because that's like the people running the ride are supposed to make sure everybody's strapped in first. And it sounds like maybe like she saw that her grandson wasn't properly strapped in. Maybe she rang him to like make sure. And so she was someplace that she wasn't supposed to be, unfortunately. Yeah. So now, while that is super tragic and awful, what's the legacy of the park has been that it's like this ghoulish ghost town that people now like go visit all the time, even to this day. So the last day it operated was August 21st, 2005, 8 days before Hurricane Katrina. It was oddly enough scheduled to stop on that date to give themselves a couple of weeks rest between like their summer session and their fall session. So while they were closed, Hurricane Katrina hit. Yeah, which I thought was interesting. Yeah. So,
That isn't
initial
interesting.
damage reports stated that the park buildings were 80% demolished. All of the flat rides, meaning the ones on the surface, like track rides and stuff like that, were destroyed by salt water because it's in the middle of the swamp. Yeah. The Mega Zeph, which was the big one of the big roller coasters, was damaged beyond repair. The only large ride that was salvageable was the Batman roller coaster ride because it was elevated. I think they were able to go later and resell that and move it to one of the other Six Flags parks. So if you go online, there's tons of video of people touring the park. There's signs that say, have a great day, as you're leaving the park, and there's like a floodwater line right in the middle. Yeah. There's like images of skateboarders that get in there and they jump these like statues and stuff like that. There's like graffiti everywhere. Atlas Obscura calls the site irresistible to trespassers and a pastel colored ghost town haunted by silence and disenchantment. Yeah. There's like a lot of like, because it's Mardi Gras kind of themed, there's like jesters everywhere and clown faces, which look really weird. And yeah, mermaids that make no sense. And like Mardi Gras beads everywhere that are like made out of resin and stuff that just looks weird. And, you know, anytime it's like, this is supposed to be fun, but it's just creepy. Yeah. So they say muddy clowns, smashed mermaids, and Mardi Gras figures stuck in an apocalyptic freeze frame are hard to resist for adventurous disaster tourists. So the ruins of this amusement park have attracted legions of urban explorers who hop the fence and trespass to experience a captivating walk through the devastated Funland. And like, since I've been there, like if you walk around, there's like, because you're in an amusement park, there's like, they oftentimes put the controls under the ground for a lot of the rides. So like you'll be walking along and then all of a sudden there's a big hole in the ground that you could like fall 10 feet down into the ground. And like, I can imagine if you're out there by yourself or with like some dummies walking around, like you could get really hurt and fall down in there. And
I'm sure that people have gotten
so hurt. It has been used as a filming location, most notably for Percy Jackson, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Jurassic World. I think the movie about the Deepwater Horizon was filmed there. They can film out there because they can blow stuff up and not hurt anybody.
Right.
That's basically right now it's just a ghost town. Several people claim to have had supernatural experiences there, but personally, I didn't find any credible information on that. But I think it's just them being hopeful and like it being kind of creepy overall and kind of imagining things.
I think people automatically assume because it's so creepy that there has to be some sort
but
of
like
ghost
situation. Other than the one tragic incident that I could find with that lady, there were no others. And because it was only open for a very short amount of time. The main tragedy is the fact that Katrina wiped it out and it's just sitting there decaying and it looks crazy.
Right. Right. Yeah, it looks intense. It's funny that nobody has come, like, I feel like, I mean, maybe not like a theme park or something, but it's weird that nobody has like moved all of that out of that area.
There have been many people that have made proposals to the city. So they wanted to turn it into an outlet mall for a while and tear all that stuff down. They wanted to turn it into another sort of like shopping area. But I think that the cost of taking all that stuff out is probably pretty expensive. When they can just let home companies go out there and blow stuff up. So, I don't know. So,
for real.
That's our amusement park history here. I find amusement parks to be super creepy. But, in the end, it's more about, to me, what people bring to amusement parks. Like, if you are looking for a scare, you're probably going to find it because they can be pretty scary places.
Right.
And then you have legions of people that are like, amusement parks are the best place I've ever been. I love going to them. I don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I am not that person. I am not. That is not me. That is not. Yeah. No. Not something I feel.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't ever have even like, you know, I know people my age that like, or all ages, I guess, that like love going to Disney World and like all of that kind of stuff. None of that to me is like, that's not fun to me. Like, that's not like standing in line to get on a ride is just not something that I want to do with my day.
No, I'd rather go to a nice restaurant and have a meal and some wine than stand in line for a fake thrill. I just don't care for that.
Right. And then even it's like, I see all the people get like, you know, I see some people I know like at the fast pass thing at Disney, but it's like once everybody gets a fast pass, then you're in line again.
Right.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very weird. Very, very weird.
Yeah. I'd rather, you know, Disney is very expensive. These places obviously were not that expensive.
No.
And obviously if you go to a state fair, you're just paying for like your little ticket stub and praying that you don't die.
Right. Right. A ticket and a prayer.
You know. But no, that's not where I want to spend my money. No. I'd rather not. No. So, but anyway.
History.
Those are amusement parks in New Orleans. If anybody has other memories about Pontchartrain Beach or anything like that, I would love to hear about that.
Totally. Yeah. And you can message us through our website at BigEasySpiritsPodcast.com or email us directly at BigEasySpirits@gmail.com. So if you have anything to share with us. And before we go, I also wanted to share that an update on last week's episode. Last week's episode, y'all should all listen to, but it's our Justice for Jessica episode. Jessica Easterly is, she's from Mississippi, but she lived in New Orleans last year around this time, end of August. She went missing and then her body was found. I actually have been talking to her sister, Audrey, who is so, so sweet. And I just, my heart breaks for her. But I wanted to give some updates. Yeah. She let me know that besides her nose and jaw being broken, so last week we I gave a little download on the autopsy report, and the autopsy of Jessica's body found that she had a broken nose and a broken jaw, but everything was kind of like undetermined, like they didn't say like what happened to her, how she died, or you know, anything like that. So her sister actually let me know that in addition to the fractured nose and the broken jaw, she suffered a broken rib and a broken C4 vertebrae in her neck.
Oh, wow.
So in my opinion, you know, my amateur sleuthing and dateline detective work, that just, I mean, obviously, you know, her family had already said it's very obvious that there was foul play. She was in a very random, her body was found in a very random area, blocks from her house, and not something where, you know, she would have just, if you're dying, you know, if it's natural and you're dying, you're not just going to go randomly out into this like wooded area, you know? So we already kind of knew there was some foul play, but now with her having a broken neck, that kind of, you know, all of it just kind of smells really fishy. So, she also said that, it sat her DNA. So I had mentioned to Jessica's body was out in the sun. So, and we were just talking about the heat. Anyone that has been in New Orleans in August and September knows that the heat is god awful. Her body was out in the heat for a while. And so originally stuff that I had read said like that was part of the reason why it took so long for them. It took about a month for them to be given be told that it was actually Jessica. Like it confirmed that it was actually Jessica.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it took a long time for that. And Audrey actually said it's because her DNA sat on a police desk for over a week before it was tested at all. So I know they've had some issues with the investigation. Things are kind of moving a little bit slower. More things are on justiceforjessica.org. I told Ashley last week that like literally 2 days after I did my show notes and we did the show, her sister, Audrey, updated all of this, like the website with a bunch of different stuff. And now it goes up to September 13th. So there's a lot more information on it. And I told Audrey to like, you know, keep me updated. So we're going to get some more information. There's more text messages and messages between Jessica's husband and her friends, Maria, one of the friends I mentioned last week in the episode too. So there's a lot of new stuff that we didn't have before. So eventually, hopefully, you know, by keeping saying this, somebody that knows something, whether you think it's the tiniest little thing or not, you know, definitely reach out. I know Crime Stoppers is taking some stuff. You can call the police office, and then it's the 3rd District Police Office. And then on justiceforjessica.org, there's like a contact information thing. So any little help, you know, anything will help, and anything counts, no matter how small you may think it is. You know, if you saw something that day, I mean, you know, I feel like if somebody moved her body out there, like somebody had to have either heard something or see something. So that's just a little bit of an update. And, you know, again, prayers and good thoughts and positive vibes to her family, because I know this is, you know, they're still, I mean, it's only been a year, so it's still like so fresh and horrible. So I couldn't even imagine. I don't want to imagine what that feels like. So
yeah.
That's just a little update that they gave me this past week. So if anyone knows anything, she also said that she has a Twitter account dedicated to her case. It's at Audrey, AUDREY, capital A, and then the numbers 0767-9092.
Okay.
So that's a Twitter. She started the Twitter to keep everybody updated as well. So that has some stuff on it. So shout out to Audrey and Jessica and her friend Maria. That's just a little update, and hopefully we'll have a whole new episode dedicated, because we'll know exactly what happened and some justice will happen in the next couple of months. But yeah, so just an update on that. Same, if you have anything you want to tell us about it, or I would direct you to the police office, but in case you so any roller coaster stories and anything about Jessica that you need to tell us or need us to pass along to the family, please let us know. BigEasySpirits@gmail.com and BigEasySpiritsPodcast.com. That's our website and our email, and you can contact us on both of those. And on social media, if you need us on there as well, at Big Easy Spirits. It's all very easy. It's all basically the same.
Yeah. One topic may be more trivial than the other, so.
I thought it was a great story.
No, but I thank you for that update. I'm so glad to have more information on that. And
It's also, I mean, I think stuff like that, it just really shows you like something went down. So that's why, you know, like keeping saying it, you know, to people over again, it's like, you know, little thing. Like you may have just remembered, like, oh, I heard this like really weird sound that night or whatever it was. Like it could be the smallest thing. It could be like nothing, but any little thing could turn out to be the clincher of the case kind of thing. So
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
you never know.
We wish the best for that family because I can't, like you said,
Couldn't
I
even.
don't, yeah, I don't even want to imagine.
No, I don't wish that on anyone. So I feel that's also why I feel like I want to keep saying stuff over and over again. So they get their story out there. 'Cause if you have a story similar to it, let us know that too. If there, we can help with or look in on or report about or whatever, let us know and shoot us an email. We like hearing from y'all.
Absolutely, yes.
But so there you go. Roller coasters and sad murder stories is what we give you.
Well, you know, yeah.
You
Oh.
never know what you're gonna
You just
get.
stopped.
Big easy spirits. All right, well.